All right, with that introduction, I think we'll just jump right into it. The West Indies are the islands between North and South America that are not on the continental shelf. That includes the limestone islands of the Bahamas and the Turks and Caicos, the old rocky islands of the Greater Antilles, and the volcanic and limestone islands of the Lesser Antilles. Florida, the ABCs, the Venezuelan islands, and Trinidad and Tobago are all excluded from the West Indies. For my master's thesis, I did a revision of a genus of tenebrionids called Nisocertosoma. And historically, this genus was very confused. There were 18 described species with 27 different names, and they were in 5 different genera. And they were only described from Cuba and Hispaniola. In my revision, I described 27 new species, and these are from Cuba, Hispaniola, the Puerto Rican Bank, and Montserrat. So what is this classic Greater Antillean Montserrat distribution? Well, as you can see here, the distribution of Nisocertosoma is centered in the Greater Antilles with this one outlier species in Montserrat. And what's interesting about this is that there are no species of Nisocertosoma known between the islands of the Virgin Islands here and Montserrat. And these islands are pretty well collected, so if Nisocertosoma was there, we would probably know it. There are some other biogeographical enigmas that share this Greater Antillean Montserrat distribution, and I'm just going to give you 2 examples. The first one is this Montserrat golly wasp, and that's a lizard. And this is the only species of this entire family known in the Lesser Antilles, and it's endemic to Montserrat. It's otherwise known from all of the Greater Antillean Islands. A second example is a lycid beetle, Thanaomys, and there's actually 2 species on Montserrat, and it's also known from all of the other Greater Antillean Islands. So Montserrat seems to be this really unique island. It's a young volcanic island. It's only about 4.4 million years old, while the Greater Antilles are 65 million years old. So the question becomes, how are these organisms getting to Montserrat, and why aren't they known from any of the intervening islands? So to test biogeography, we basically need 2 things to make a good test. First, we need a concrete geological history. We have to be able to understand the vicariant events that affect our study group. We also have to have a cladistic analysis paired with distributions. Unfortunately, the state of the Caribbean biogeography is still what it was described as in 1989 by E.E. Williams. The geological history of the West Indies is, there's no consensus of how these islands got to where they are, and there's a lot of confusion about that. Also, the phylogenetic analyses are really inadequate, as well as the fossil record. There aren't a lot of species known from the fossil record. So we're starting off with a pretty bad case here. But the question becomes, are these things dispersing over water, or are they a vicariant group? And so we can almost immediately rule out over water dispersal based on Nisocertosoma's distribution. They're not known from Jamaica, they're not known from St. Croix in the Virgin Islands, and they're also not known from the Bahamian Islands. And in order for any of these species to have gotten to these islands, they would have had to disperse over water because Jamaica came up out of the water 10 million years after the other Greater Antilles were already established. And St. Croix actually broke off Puerto Rico 5.3 million years ago, while the Northern Virgin Islands of St. John and St. Thomas broke off from Puerto Rico only 8,000 to 10,000 years ago. And the Bahamian Islands, the Nisocertosoma could have gotten there if it dispersed over water because at one time they were very close to Cuba. And then another option is that possibly these species were, this genus was on these islands, but they may have went extinct. But we don't know that because we only have fossils from Hispaniola. But what about that Montserrat species? You think that the only way for it to get there would to disperse over water. But as it turns out, all of the wind and the water currents flow east to west. And so it had to have been some sort of freak accident for this species to have gotten to Montserrat. The second thing that we want to look at is a cladistic analysis, and this is purely morphological data. And what I found is that Nisocertosoma is monophyletic. based on the female genitalia, and more specifically, the stiffened cuticular tube. As you can see here, there are three clades, and these three clades are poorly supported, and they're based on three morphological types. The first type is the Nusicertosoma sensu stricto species group, and these beetles are medium in size, and they are flightless. The second species group is the purple species group, and these beetles are quite large, up to 12 millimeters, and they have fully developed wings. And the Serrania species group are very small beetles, and they're also flighted. So to look at this, we can look at the distribution map with these three species groups mapped out on the different islands. And as you can see, Cuba and Hispaniola have all three species groups, while Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands only have the Serrania species group, and Montserrat only has the Nusicertosoma species group. So basically what that tells us is that if speciation was driven by vicariance, then these clades would correspond more closely with geography than with morphology. But like I just showed you, our phylogenetic analysis doesn't support this. So what it does support is that there could have possibly been three ancestral species on Cuba and Hispaniola that evolved separately. However, what you don't know at this point is that the support for these three clades are based on suspected convergent characters. And I'm only going to show you one example, and we'll use the Nusicertosoma species group because it's the most evident there. This species group is monophyletic, and it's supported or separated from the other two species groups by four character states. The first one is this reduced scutellum. The second one is the short metaventrite. And the third is the reduced or lacking thoracic wings. And then the fourth is this ventral setal patch on the male metatibia. So if you were paying attention, you would realize that the first two of these characters are directly related to the third, which suggests that this group is unnatural because it's based on the convergences associated with the lack of metathoracic wings. And something to point out here is this Montserrat species. It comes out with the Nusicertosoma species group, and that's because it's flightless. It doesn't have its metathoracic wings. But what's really interesting about it is that its morphology reflects more that of the Serrania species group down here. And that leads us into some interesting future research. What we have is this support for generic monophyly and extensive radiations within it. And in 1943, Darlington proposed this theory of these evolutionary trends in island-inhabiting groups. And essentially what he says is that you have these small wing species in the lowlands that give rise to a series of mountain species exhibiting gigantism and flightlessness. And that's exactly what we see in Nusicertosoma with those three morphological types. And so Darlington's pattern would predict that our species groups in Nusicertosoma would be intermixed phylogenetically. So my thesis basically provides a unique starting point to test this idea. And obviously, the morphological work doesn't provide the data that we need. And a molecular study is needed to resolve these species relationships. And the study should be structured to test the hypothesis of the evolution of multiple lineages from that basal most Serrania type to multiply derived gigantic purple types to the flightless Nusicertosoma species type. So in conclusion, our null hypothesis of overwater dispersal is rejected, and we don't think that this is the explanation for this Greater Antillean Montserrat distribution. However, the phylogenetic analysis does not apparently support vicariance, so we don't really have an answer of how this distribution came to be. But we do have some really exciting research, future research avenues to take, and we have a starting point to test vicariance, this vicariance model, as well as Darlington's theory. So with that, I would like to thank all of these people and take any questions.
Lots of Tanith folks in
the All right. Thank you. Oh, we have one question.
Has anyone looked at internal morphology for characters maybe?
I couldn't hear the last part.
Can you look at internal characters for phylogenetically informed characters?
Well, the female genitalia is the character that I found that holds the entire genus together. Male genitalia is typically used in tenebrionids, but in this group, they're nearly identical in all of the species, just a variation in size. Other than that, no, we haven't done a lot of internal morphology. So, yeah.
You briefly mentioned the presence of triangular patches on the
Well, there's a lot of variation in the male metatibia. There's some with a very strong apical tooth, and then there's this ventral-cetal patch, so it kind of ranges from in between those two things. And we suspect that that's probably used in mating, that they use that to grasp onto the female. So. All right, thank you.